This morning, Genesis chapter 4 is where we're going to get started. The pastor had his youngest son, Jeff, age 6, help him mow the lawn and do a little bit of yard work. Then there was a little bit of time, so they crawled up on the trampoline and bounced around for a little while, and they just felt it was a very special bonding time with his young son, so they just stretched themselves out on the tarp and looked up into the beautiful blue sky. And Jeff said to his dad, "Dad, why are we here?" So the pastor gave it some thought, and he said, "Well, son, see, we're all creatures. God created us, and we were created for him and by him, for his pleasure. He's gifted each one of us with special talents and abilities so that when he comes back or when we face him one of these days, if we have been obedient and we have loved him, there's going to be a great reward. Does that answer your question, son?" "Well, not really, Dad. Dad, why are we here? Weren't we supposed to pick Mom up an hour ago?" That pastor might be meeting God sooner than he thought. Enough. As I mused before the Lord about dads, that's the word that came to me. Enough. True of women, I'm sure, as well, but I know for us men, we're always concerned, am I enough? Have I done enough? Am I enough? And I think one of the greatest gifts that we could receive today is an affirmation, a reassurance from the Lord himself that not only have we been enough, maybe just even a little bit better than that. Genesis chapter 4, the first two verses. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I've brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. Father, we come in close this morning. I know we all get dressed up, and we've got our careers, and there are some things that we're proficient about. But if there's one thing that always keeps us a little bit on edge, a little bit on our toes, it's this family stuff. There always seems to be a little bit of drama going on. And when it comes to family, when it comes to human beings, we can do nuts and bolts pretty well. Some of us have even worked our way around a computer. But boy, when it comes to relationships, who in the world is up to that? And so we look to you, Lord God. We bring our stuff to you. Whether we are a dad or have a dad or used to have a dad or want a dad, Lord, help us this morning as we come in close. Fix what is broken in us and strengthen what is weak and improve everything. And we'll thank you for your help today in Jesus' name. Amen. Adam was God's son. It would be hard to improve on a father like that, but God was not a physical father to Adam. Adam must have felt like he was flying blind much of the time raising his boys. Well, you recall, Adam himself was made out of dust. He was an adult complete. Eve was formed out of a rib. She came walking and talking and all good. That was their experience. This is life. And now they got a baby. Adam had probably assisted, and if not assisted, at least been there when many of the animals had given birth. Now a colt or a calf is up and running within a couple hours after it's born. Little peeps, ducks and hens, and so little peeps. Soon after they're hatched, they begin pecking the ground, and they're pretty much on their way. Puppies, they're born in, and they can't see that. But within 6 months, they're pretty much full grown. Can you imagine Adam holding this little baby day after day, after day, after day, and through the night? All the other animals are looking on, you know. Hey, what's wrong with him? My kid was full grown in a week. You know? The next thing to it, you know, okay, within this little baby. I wonder how often Adam must have thought, I can't even reproduce right. This thing can't walk. It can't talk. It's, oh boy, what are we supposed to do? Years went by before the child could communicate with them in a rightful way. This little boy was utterly useless, helpless, and dependent. And then look at verse 1 again. Eve says, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. You see Adam standing there? I mean, he's all in a sweat. He's feeling a little lightheaded, a little nauseous himself. With the help of the Lord, I've brought forth a man. He was there, breathe. His arm still has nail prints in it where she dug in with each contraction. You know, he fed her ice chips through the hole. With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Yeah, it took God. We understand that. But from that moment on, Adam was low man on the totem pole. There was God, there was the boys, and Adam, what are you doing? Cain worked the soil. Abel took care of the animals. Adam had a little experience in both of those fields, but it wasn't really his forte. He was a fruit tender. He was an orchard guy. And now his sons are doing something completely different from his experience. Likely he worked alongside each of his sons, helping wherever he could and trying to drink it all in, marveling at all their new discoveries. Hey, Dad, I figured out that if I water the crops, they're more abundant. But if I give them too much water, that kills them. Wow, that's quite a discovery there, Cain. Good job. Hey, Dad, did you know that if you crossbred between two flocks, you got a healthier offspring? Well, no, I didn't. How'd you figure that one out? Well, it was actually quite by accident. Even a man without a father figure in his life, without a skill set that matches his children, can be enough. Dad, you ever feel like you're not bright enough? Like this is uncharted territory? Even without a perfect father figure, even without knowing how to navigate these days, you can be enough by just being there. Be there every day, or at least often enough that they know you care, that you love them. I think every good dad is part cheerleader. The encouragement, the words that come from you. You ever find that the anger words just are, they come? The praise words take a little work sometimes. Make sure you work at them well. Changing stories. Lot was actually Abraham's nephew, but Abraham treated him just like a son. Lot's father had died early on. They were all living in Haran, and God was working on Abraham's heart to go and explore the land of Canaan. Lot said, I'll go with you. And so Abraham was happy to have him along. They had many shared experiences together, but in time, Lot's herds and flocks grew so large, and so did Abraham's, that they couldn't all fit in the same area. So finally, Abraham went to Lot and said, you know, son, this isn't working. Got to split up here. You choose the part of the property you want, and I'll go elsewhere. If you want to stay here, I'll go elsewhere. If you want somewhere else, I'll stay here. But we have to make a choice here. He gave Lot first choice. One of the things about a father's heart is He cares more about the success of his children than he does of his own. I want you to do well. I will consider that I have had a good life if I can watch you launched and grow and prosper and be blessed. And so Lot took off with all of his flocks and herds and his servants, and off they went. But one day, Abraham got word that the city where Lot was living, Sodom, had been overrun by an invading army, and Lot, along with the rest of the residents, had been taken captive. And Abraham had to figure out what he was going to do. What could he do? He's a shepherd guy. And this is an army. This is a large army. This army had overrun another army that was against it. Four or five kings aligned with their armies. This Chedorlaomer had destroyed them all. And now Lot is his captive. But Abram gets his guys together, 318 men. They're his servants, they're his friends, they're his friends' servants. And 318 guys take off after an army. This wasn't really Abraham's fight. Nobody would have blamed him if he'd had just stayed home and prayed. He could have thrown his hands up and said, well, what do you expect me to do? That's an army out there. We're shepherds. What, we're going to fling sheep dung at them? What are we supposed to do? But the heart of a father, ever ready to lay his life down for his own, beat within the chest of this man. And he had to do what he had to do. Abram was going to rescue Lot or die trying. God, if you're with me, if you've ever been with me, I need you to be with me now. Can you imagine while they're marching toward that enemy camp? The night before, while they're on their way, how Abram must have measured himself, how he must have asked God, am I enough? Can I do this? Is this folly? Have I drawn my friends into a battle that is going to cost us our lives? It's one thing for me to risk myself, but these are my dearest friends. Dads make decisions that affect the whole family. Should I change jobs? Do I start a new company? Do I risk everything for a chance at a better future? Lord, it would be one thing if it was just me, but these others are dependent on me now. And sometimes dads have to disappoint the people that love them most to make that change, to take that risk, to relocate, to sacrifice for a better tomorrow. Tough decisions have to be made. They seem to set squarely on dad's shoulders. There's a new song on Word FM. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but some of the words really caught my attention. Last night put the heavy on me. I don't know what the rest of the song says. Those words just always play. Last night put the heavy on me. You know, oh, last night put the heavy on me. And sometimes you've got nights like that, right? There are seasons in life. Man, there are big decisions that need to be made. And sometimes it's not up to us. The job is ending and other directions have to be forged. Somewhere in the not too distant past, one of your fathers had to make a decision to come to America. Can you imagine? Yeah, we're all descendants of immigrants. Can you imagine what that must have been like? Do any of you know the story of those men, of those women? How bad did it have to get where they were to risk everything to come and start over? Some people with nothing more than the clothes on their back. Some of the guys had to come and try to earn enough money to send for their wives, to send for their children. It was quite a bold adventure. both of my grandfathers. On my father's side, one worked in a steel plant in Alcoa, aluminum. And in that day, there were no days off. There were no vacations. There were no health plans. You lined up, and if you got a job, you got a job. And you worked that job. If you got hurt, you didn't have a job anymore. There was nothing reciprocal there. And on the other side, my mom's dad was a coal miner in Bentleyville, Pennsylvania. Now, they were first generation. My mom's parents came over from Czechoslovakia. And they were coal miners. And again, there were no benefits. They lived in a coal town, which meant that the company owned the town. You rented your house from the company. You didn't get paid with money. You got paid with script. The company gave you script that you could spend at the company store, and you could rent your house. It was just a hair above slavery, really. Why? My grandpas, they knew they would never have plenty. They just prayed to have enough. Why? They dreamt for a day when their children and their grandchildren would have more than enough. They were sacrificing. Greater love has no one than this, that they should lay down their lives for their own. Before we complain, before we worry, we ought to remember the sacrifice of so many good ones who have gone before. And I would like to think that we have inherited a little bit of their ilk, that we are somewhat like them. Oh, we can look back over our shoulder and say, oh, back in the day, Dad was so grumpy and they this and that. Remember where they came from. Remember what the conditions were. Remember what they labored under. So many of them worked like dogs and got treated worse. Then I see today's generation of new dads. And I'm so proud of the young men that I rub elbows with, because they're getting up in the middle of the night to help with the babies. They're walking the floor knowing they got a big day at work the next day, but they understand that their first love, their first priority is there with the family. They give up their sport so that the kids can have theirs. They learn to cut their own hair just to save a little bit of money. They go to work sick. They play tea party. They traded their coupe in for a minivan. Their buddies rib them. Their wives think they need to grow up. You don't mind growing up. You just miss the guy that's fading away that you always were as you become something other. But you continue to lay your life down because you love them more than you love you. Dad, a man like that is more than enough. And you may never get your due. Nice card once a year, a kiss on the cheek. It's all good. But how often have you heard the opposite? How often has the enemy put a point on the end of words that you're not enough, you're not good enough, you haven't given enough? And for some, it just tears you up inside. You've given it all and it hasn't been enough. But for a man like that, a man who has sacrificed, a man who loves, a man who lives to love, I want you to know your heavenly Father sees, and he's proud of the man you've become. He appreciates everything that you've laid aside in order to be there for your family, in order to lift them up. You know, I think the greatest father of all never had a chance to be a dad. Jesus came to teach us, came to be with us. Psalm 22 says, no one can speak of his descendants. He never married. He never had any kids of his own. But he came for the purpose of walking with us. Like Adam walked with Cain and with Abel, and they learned together about life. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is right here with us. And Dad, you never do walk alone. I know there are those moments. What am I supposed to do? And like Abraham, there may not be a clear voice from heaven saying, strap on your sword and go after him, son. Often the answers are in a consternation. Lord, I'm not sure. I'm trusting that you're hearing me. I'm trusting that you're directing me. God, help me. God, help me. And he does. Jesus came to be with us as we father. Jesus sacrificed his very life in the battle that won our freedom. Like Abram, he strapped on his sword and he came. He laid his life down. And by so doing, the scriptures say, he brought many children into glory. You know, Jesus was always comfortable with kids. He welcomed them into his lap. He had stories for them. Loves children. I'm trying to figure out why I love kids so much. They're messy. They're loud. My grandkids don't have inside voices. You can say, use your inside voice. They don't have one. It's just all, from the moment they wake up, it's loud. And they're a challenge a lot of times. I don't know if you ever tried to feed three or more of them at once. They all want different things until the last one makes their order, and then they all want that thing after you've prepared everything else, and it goes on. But I can't get enough of these grandkids. They fascinate me. They're beautiful. I watch them walk. I watch them run. It's the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I listen to them talk. It's the most profound language and words I've ever heard. It's so neat. There are some things the kids say that stick with you forever. Kayla, when she was little, instead of saying, my hands are full, she would say, I'm full of hands. To this day, everybody in our family, if you got to, and you can't get, I'm full of hands. That's what we say. She taught us how to talk. Andrea sent this little video clip. The two kids are sitting on the couch. Parker's 4 and the baby's 1. And Parker says, I smell stink. And this cute little blonde-haired little one-year-old turns to the camera and says, I poop. That's just, it's classic. You know, it'll go viral in no time at all. I poop. Yeah, you normally a line like that you wouldn't think is a great line, right? But it's the delivery. It's the delivery of it all. But children are beautiful, and they're fascinating. And when I think the older we get, the more fascinated we are. Well, when we're younger, we think we want the attention of adults. So we want everybody. And when we're older, we couldn't care less about the adults. It's the children that are so precious. And Jesus saw that. He got that. They're people. They're innocent, they're beautiful, they're the future. Unfortunately, we have a lot of perverts lurking around these days. All the more reason for good men to step up and father our kids. We need some champions. We need some good men. Fathering may not get all the kudos it deserves, but let me tell you, a good father doesn't need recognition. A man doesn't need the applause of the crowd. A man does right because he knows it is right. And a man looks forward to the day the Heavenly Father adds his reward. Dad, do your best, and God will make sure it's enough. How often I just took what I did to God that, oh God, help, help. I did my best, but it's not enough. But God, I know you got my back. I know you got my back. You don't need the wife and kids to affirm you. Set your heart to follow Jesus, and your heavenly reward will be here soon enough. Soldier on, my brother. Bring your burdens to the cross and carry on.